Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
I would say we all have different levels of influence. We all have the capability to be an influencer. It's just how do you get into the algorithm where Instagram thinks it too. So feel me when I bring it, sing it loud. I'm from
the loop and I'm proud. Hi guys, it's your girl Nechama, your favorite Jew from the Loo. Welcome back to my podcast. And today I'm so excited to have Nick on. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So we met, we were trying to figure out how long ago it was. Mm-hmm. I think it was like about a month or so.
Yeah, about a month ago.
There was this influencer meetup in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because on my Africa trip that I just came back from recently, one of the ladies, Karen, Mama Karen, shout out to you. She's almost 60. So we were teaching her all about like how to pose for pictures really cute and how to take videos and stuff. And she asked me if I was an influencer. And I was like, no, so not. I'm a content creator.
Sure.
You know, I create content. My dream is to be an influencer. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, what's the difference? And I said, well, only one thing in my mind. Or maybe two things I should say. Sure. One is the amount of people following you. Are you someone of influence?
Sure.
And then two, money. Are there brand deals?
Right. I guess so.
You know, like to be an influencer, like I think you could not make money, but still have like thousands of people who like if you suggest something, they'll do it.
Sure.
That's an influencer. The level of impact, to me, that's an influencer. So like I think to be a mini influencer, you need to have like, I think at least 2,500 followers.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Sure.
I think that's just what I think. I don't know.
Well, I would say we all have different levels of influence, no matter what we're doing. And really, any content creator to become an influencer is all, it's all based around the algorithm of how well does Instagram or Facebook or anywhere think your content is good enough. Which is a horrible way to say it. But if Instagram doesn't think it's good enough, they're not going to push it out.
Yeah.
I think we all have the capability to be an influencer. It's just how do you get into the algorithm where Instagram thinks it too? Or TikTok or whoever.
And it's different with each platform.
Very much so.
Also, side note, Nick is a marketing guru, right?
I appreciate that.
So let's share a bit about like your company.
Sure.
Since you are the founder.
Yeah. So I run RevUp. So I primarily work with small to mid-sized businesses. The selling points are to generate leads and all that stuff that a business loves, which we can do and we do. What I love about it is the social media side of it, getting stuff out there that lots of people can see. My favorite part with it, so we do paid ads on Facebook and everywhere else, which is great if a business has a budget for that. A lot of the businesses that I work with, they don't have a budget for paid ads. So they're primarily focused on organic content to get their product or their service out there. But that's what I really love is how do I take somebody's product or what they may have and get it out to the masses organically.
Yeah.
Which is much better.
So to combine my two loves, which is business / marketing / branding, and then also Kabbalah and the spirituality behind that. So David Guillaume, he's primarily like the Kabbalah teacher who I've learned everything about Kabbalah that I know. I took his master course. But he's also a business guru because he and his wife are the founders of Mary Ruth's Organic Multivitamin.
Okay.
Which is one of the world's leading liquid multivitamins out there right now, right? And so I listened to one of his business courses that was also like a Kabbalah course. So it was like spirituality combined with business, which was very intriguing.
Yeah.
And one of the things he mentioned was for a long time, they were just doing organic type of marketing. And then he like met with a kid who was like 20 years old, like a you know, marketing guru. And he's like, you have to do paid ads. Like that is going to skyrocket you. And he said like within a week, it just 10x their business. So I think the interesting thing about budget is like, whether it's personal or professional, we all find the money when we need it.
That's true.
You know, and I think there's also ways to start out small with paid ads as well. 100%. I think for a lot of people, it's just more of something I've learned going connecting business and influencership, right?
Yeah.
Is that most of the entrepreneurs that I've met on this journey, for those who don't know, I also have like a small coffee shop or online coffee shop, I should say, soon to be brick and mortar, called Le Cafe, where we sell our light, medium, and dark roasts. And then eventually it's going to be like a whole community hub, which I just teased out with you about before.
I love it.
But the thing is, most entrepreneurs will say that there's two pain points that they have. One is that they wish they would have documented earlier. And two is that they hate being in front of a camera. Right? And it's like they understand the importance, but they also feel so intimidated by the platform and how professional other people's work is. And I think, yes, ideally, if you could have someone professional to shoot you, of course, your stuff's going to be so much better. But even once you just, I'm a big believer in like immersion therapy. The more you put yourself out there, the better you'll get. So on my personal page, that's why I gave myself a challenge where I don't have a brand that I'm promoting on my personal page. My brand is me. So all I'm doing is every day I have to do one reel. And I got better at it. I've been learning all about editing. I've learned about like angles. I'm not so afraid to be in front of a camera anymore. And this is going to drive you nuts, but I'm not really checking metrics or worried about that. Because for me, I used to be more of a back end thing, like, are people liking it? How are they engaging it? And it caused so much anxiety that it would like almost harm my creativity and my confidence, put myself out there. So it's almost better that I'm not obsessing over that, because since I'm always in this creator mode, I'm not concerned with that. In my ideal world, I get to live in my creator zone and I have a team of people to worry about the metrics. You know? That's my ideal.
I think that's great. And I do wish you would look at metrics a bit more, of course. But I, at the end of the day, I don't think it necessarily, it doesn't matter. Really, it's creating a space where people, which I don't think a lot of us realize this, but no matter what content we're doing, we're creating a space for someone to either feel included or feel heard. So if we're creating content and it can resonate with people on a deep level, it doesn't matter how good your hook is, or you know, the metrics are on like watch time, how long or short your video is, or whatever it is. If you can create a space where someone can feel included into whatever content you're putting out there, like, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day what metrics say or not. At the end of the day, the way I look at it, if all I could do in my life is impact at least one person on a deep level, like, I feel fulfilled.
You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson said that.
Did he really?
He said, well, paraphrasing kind of like what you said, but he said, if one person has breathed easier because of my existence, then I have lived a life of purpose.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so there you yay. Go. Alignment.
Yeah.
Yay. We love yeah. this. That's so cool because awesome. That's how I created you from the loo with my podcast. I was working corporate. I was very lonely because I was sharing a space with a coworker who was very overworked and very overstressed. So she was in a very negative energy space.
Sure.
And like, I want to chit chat all day.
Yeah.
She did not. So what ended up happening was I started listening to podcasts, which before I always thought were boring. I hated podcasts to begin with, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then I started listening to podcasts and then I realized, oh my gosh, unlike real life, I can choose the conversations, the topics, the tone of voice, the person who's talking to me. There's a lot more control, if you will, right? And then I just really started to learn and enjoy. Sometimes I would listen to comedians and just fun ones, but sometimes it'd be more educational. Mm-hmm. And then I'm the type of person that I can only be a consumer for so long before I need to get my hands messy on something that I love. And our corporate office gave us a $200 budget for a hobby of our choice. Mm. So with that, I bought these two $50 each gaming mics.
Yeah.
And then a $50 lighting kit, and it began.
There you go.
I wanted to create a space because I realized with podcasts, a lot of us, we go through things and we feel like we're alone.
Yep.
And then you hear a conversation where someone's talking about something that you're struggling with, or at least you can relate to, and you're like, wait a minute, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And so that's exactly what I want to do with this space.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then going back into metrics, if you can set up something like that, like how do you get to the masses
and all that? Right, because if you have something of value but it's not reaching the people, it's not that what you are or what you're providing is invaluable. It's just how do you reach people? Sure. And I think whether it's a product or example like this, a podcast.
Yeah.
So what would you tell people? Just basics. Yeah.
Okay, basics. Basics. Yeah.
For dummies.
Yeah. Well, let me give you a little bit of my background first with a lot of this. So when I first got into business in general, I was just a website developer. I was homeschooled growing up.
And
my mom was like, hey, you need to figure out something to do that.
Like a hobby. So then
basically a hobby. Yeah. Honestly, I was like the epitome of what you think a homeschooler is. Where like they have no friends and there's
so many reels to send you in my head right now.
Over it.
But
I also grew up in a cult.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Which is a whole other thing. We can talk about that later.
Wait, can we talk about it now?
We can, yeah. I guess if you want to.
For the story, for the plot, for the podcast? Yeah. Okay, this is tea. I didn't know.
Okay, so a little bit about my lore. So there's a whole Amazon Prime documentary about it. Are you familiar? Are you familiar with the Duggars?
Yeah.
19 Kids and Counting.
Yeah.
So I grew up in the same cult as the Duggars. Yeah, I grew up knowing the Duggars.
No.
Friends with them.
No.
And everything. Yeah.
Nice.
Actually, when I was in that, I had started a podcast with a group of friends that were also in the same same group called Courageous Men of the Word. And it was a Christian Bible study podcast type of thing.
Okay.
We had like the Duggars on as guests and different things like that.
Wow.
For it as well. But so I grew up in a very conservative Christian household.
Yeah.
My parents were the type where My mom was very, very strict with different things. And if you didn't follow those rules, you basically were going to hell and all of that good stuff, which included for like my sisters, like you have to wear long jean skirts 24/7. You can't show off your legs or whatever.
Wow.
A lot of different things. It was very much works based on you have to do this and this and this and this, and then you can get to heaven. It wasn't necessarily
That it was promised to you.
right, yeah, or by faith alone, or anything like that. So growing up, I was very much a perfectionist by nature. I was kind of forced to be that, just because if I wasn't perfect, there was no hope for me,
Yeah,
or anything like that.
I relate.
Yeah. And that was the group that I grew up in, which was called ATI, or the Institute of Basic Life Principles. And that was, so it started back up in like the 70s when 70s like hippies and all the different stuff where the church was scared of their kids becoming hippies and rebellion and all this different stuff. And it was a way to grab control of youth. And at least the way that it grew up for me, well, I already mentioned that it was very much works based, where you have to do certain things to get to heaven with all of that. But yeah, so if you watch the show 19 Kids and Counting,
How
I
many
think I'm
kids
in
were
one
in your
episode.
family?
I'm the oldest of eight.
So it's a bop.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so
Okay.
there's a so there's a lot. And that was most families in the group, had lots and lots of kids. But anyway, so my mom, she was like, you need to have a hobby. You need to do something. And I told her I wanted to learn how to build websites at the time, which was insane for me to say because I grew up in a house where we didn't have cable TV or internet or anything.
Yeah.
So that I wanted to be a website developer, like, shocked her, but she let me do it.
Okay.
So I started going to the library, getting books, all of that different stuff. And it was crazy because I also didn't have access to a laptop or anything to work
Yeah.
on. So what I would do, I would read these books, and I had a composition notebook that we had for my homeschooling, and I would code in the notebook, take it to the library, type it all up, and then I have to debug and figure out, okay, why isn't this working or anything like that.
That's so
Yeah, but
intriguing.
I wanted to do it so much. In a way, it was an escape for me.
Yeah.
So I was able to do that. But
Right, because I mean, with web as web, I know a little bit about it because in our school initially it was supposed to be graphic design and web design.
okay, yeah.
And so with coding, one little thing is wrong, like a period is off, like the whole thing doesn't work. And so having I am not the personality type that enjoys that. But it's interesting because I think maybe from your background too, it's almost like a way for you to have your own little world where you have control. And to be able to figure out what it was probably really like rewarding. And it's like, it's almost like my mom's like a feng shui junkie. And she cleans like a fiend when her life is out of control, especially, right? Some people are like that. And whenever I meet someone who's really clean, I'm like, there's trauma here. You know what I mean? Like
That's great. Yeah.
if you're that clean, like either you're trying to control something or you were raised in a way where like it was punishment for not. Okay, continue.
Yeah.
I
No, all
love
good.
this old school coding.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was a way for me, I guess, just kind of to escape. Which was also horrible because I don't have the greatest handwriting either. So then I would have to decode the code that I written out. I had to figure out, okay, what did I actually write here?
Yeah.
Which is fun. But yeah, so I started getting into that. I met another guy in the homeschool group that actually did it for a business, and he kind of brought me on as like he was my mentor and taught me a lot of different stuff for like the business world and everything. So since I was 12, I wanted to start this web design business and all of that. So got into that a bit more and started to try to figure that out, to what that would look like. And I got invited to go to an event. And this is after my parents and I had a falling out. I moved out when I was 17.
Oh, wow.
And then trying to figure out what to do with my life at 17 by myself.
That's wild. It's really scary.
Yeah, yeah. Thankfully, I had like a good job at the time. I guess I had that.
That's good. That was my first thought. I'm just taking care of yourself, like not having a home, like literally needing the basics.
Yeah.
It's like I'm thinking like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Like just survival.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess that's where people talk about like the Judeo-Christian work ethic or whatever. But I had worked at Goodwill at the time, and I was just like a sales floor associate. And at 17, over the course of 6 months, I worked my way up from sales floor associate to cashier, cashier manager, and then sales floor manager.
Wow.
So then I was like third to the store manager at the time, which for 17
was very impressive.
It was crazy. Yeah. But so I had a good job, but I moved out and everything. And one thing with the cult too, my parents took me away from like all of my family. I had no relationships with anyone. And I lived up in Minneapolis, Minnesota at the time. And I started connecting with some of my family lives here in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Connected with my uncle, and he invited me down to come to an event that he was helping put on. And it's with a company called Life and Air, like millionaire, but with life. And it was called a 3-day Get a Life boot camp. And I went to that. And it was my first event that I went to that wasn't in the cult. So it was very, in a way, it was very refreshing to see like, oh, wow, there's like normal people. And also all these normal people, like they're just as messed up as like my family was, you know,
in their own way. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're trying to figure it out. And I went to that event. And the guy there, his name is Sean McCloskey, and he's a pretty big like business life coach type of thing here in St. Louis. So he put on the event, and he really, really inspired me, to make this web design business a reality at the time.
Wow.
Because when I first moved out, I kind of gave up hope on any of that. So after that, I reached out to him. I'm like, hey, man, you inspire me to start this business. If you ever need a website, let me know. And it was kind of like that shy in the dark email that you send, not expecting a response or anything. But he emailed me the very next day and he's like, hey, I actually need something. Let's meet. Let's get coffee. So I met with him and ended up making him his website and all the systems and stuff. And that was like my very first like real client with anything. I was telling him more about like, this is my idea for the business. This is what I want to do. And he's like, well, it's not going to work out like you think it is right off the bat. It's going to take some time.
Okay. I love that, by the way.
Yeah.
That's the best advice you can give to any entrepreneur.
100%.
Is just be like, love the passion. It's going to take so much longer, be so much harder than you think. Not in a bad way.
Yeah.
But just so you know, like
100%.
Reassessing your expectations. Because I think social media makes us feel that like we'll be a success overnight.
For sure.
And it takes 10 years of work to be a success overnight.
Yeah. And one thing that he was great at, and so he kind of took me under his wing after that. But one thing he was great at was a lot of people, they build a business, they wrap their life around their business rather than wrap their business around their life.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the whole point of Life and Air, is how do we make a business that helps you create the life you want to have rather than how do we make a business that sucks all of life, all happiness, all joy away from you?
Oh, I need to hear all this. Yes.
So he started teaching me a lot of the stuff about vision and Ikigai and all these different stuff. And it was very, very refreshing.
Let's break it down. Can we actually go into it a little bit?
Sure,
like
sure.
What he said? Because I think for myself, I want to hear. And I'm sure there's people who will be listening who like – need to hear this.
Sure.
So break it down like simply for a dummy.
So it all starts with Ikigai, basically. I'm gonna pull that up real quick so I can.
Yeah.
Actually,
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Not butcher it.
While you're pulling that up, I'm going to share a short story.
Yeah.
So actually talking about God, how we met was such a God thing because we weren't supposed to meet. So I actually had an event for Le Cafe the night of the influencer event.
Okay.
What happened was it was supposed to be at the selfie room. And I was collaborating with a bunch of other women-owned businesses. I was so excited about it. It was going to be like roaring 20s themes. And you come and you're going to learn how to post. Because like I said, entrepreneurs and even people in general, like video photography, it's a part of our world now. And so many of us, someone whips out a camera and we're like, and you feel awkward, right? So the point of this workshop was that you would leave with a sit-down pose and a like standing pose where that you can pull out of your pocket that the minute someone pulls out a camera, you're like, I'm ready. This is my good side, you know?
Sure.
And just that confidence.
Yeah.
And then also just a way to collab. Like we were going to collab with Steep Street Co., which is a local loose leaf tea company.
Okay.
And we were going to do like everything was going to be mocktails. So she was like uses her teas as a base for mocktails.
Okay.
She's going to make teamosas.
Okay.
And then I was going to be launching my decaf roast and I was going to make like a cocktail version of an espresso martini.
Okay.
Or a mocktail version. So sorry.
Sure.
And then my other good friend, Elise, with her gluten-free baked goods, Sweet Elise, she was going to have some gluten-free treats. Okay. And then everyone would leave with like a little goodie bag with like this little champagne glass with all the little treats to go. And then also in the back, everyone would leave with a professional, Jess, the photographer, she was going to take a professional photo of each person. So like your confidence would shine. You'd get a moment captured of the evening, right? And we were so excited. Like it's such an amazing group of women. We were so thrilled. Plus part of the funds was going to go towards the charity that I was raising money for Africa.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And week before I checked in, I was like, hey, how many people have bought tickets? Like we've all been posting. We've been reaching out. Zero tickets sold.
Oh, wow.
Zero tickets sold, which was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because we're so excited about this event. And then no one signed up. And I remember feeling so down. You know, like when you feel so passionate about something and then you put yourself out there and then you get that rejection. And then you're like question your existence and
100%.
My worth, my influence, right? And I was just like, I guess I'm not influential. I guess I don't matter. Like, and it's funny because I'm not the only one in this group, but I took so much responsibility because it was my idea and I'm the one who like brought everyone together. And the fact that like nothing came of it was so disappointing. And then just, I'm not even kidding you, like the moment I had that thought of, I guess I'm not influential, Nikki, the one who who's been on this podcast.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go.
That's how we know each other. She actually reached out to me. I was like, wait, why? I'm nobody. Yeah. Like, why are you reaching out to me? That's so cool. She's like, you seem nice. I'm like, oh, yay. And then she reached out to me because it was like an invite only, like influencer, like meetup event. And she was like, yeah, you should come. I was like, literally me saying to God, like, oh, I'm not influential. And then I'm getting invited to like an influencer event. I was like, and I wouldn't have been able to go if it was the event.
Right.
But because it was canceled, because and we're still going to do it. We're just going to be a little smarter with our marketing and like figure it out. We've learned from our mistakes.
Yeah.
We're not giving up. But like it was so cool. Like that was the fastest God had ever responded to me.
Wow.
But again, if I hadn't gone that night, we wouldn't have met.
That's awesome.
Wild.
That's cool. Yeah.
So literally we weren't supposed to meet.
Yeah. I'm sorry. But I'm glad we met.
Yeah, no. It's okay. It's okay. I met so many great people that night. I was so great to be there. But like, I think this is just where my, I have like a toolkit with my faith, right?
Sure.
Where it's like, I have it so that when bad things happen, I can reach out. You don't just, you can't just have bad things and expect to all of a sudden have faith. You have to build that up beforehand. Yeah. So like for me, whenever something appearingly like bad happens, I'm such a big believer that life is working out for me that I'm like, okay, while on a human level, I could feel my feels and that's okay. I believe that it's going to work out for me. And then here we are.
There we go.
So that's the story.
I love it.
I know Ikigai.
Okay, yeah. So Ikigai is basically the idea of how do you find something that is going to be, I guess, extremely fulfilling. Would that be the right way to say it?
Yeah, purpose-driven, fulfilling. Yeah. It's going to set your soul on fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's finding something that you can do that is not only that you love, but something that the world needs.
Yes.
What you can be paid for.
Yes.
And what you're good at.
Yeah.
And if you could find something that
is hard.
Yeah, exactly.
It took me years to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's how you can create something in your life and in your vision that you're ultimately going to want to do for the rest of your life.
And that wasn't graphic design for me.
Yeah.
Graphic design is the thing that I'm good at, but it's not the thing that sets my soul on fire.
There you go. Yeah.
And that was scary because I went to school for that. And then I was like, now what am I supposed to do with my life?
And like, so basically you could look it up and there's a chart for it. But if it's something that basically you throw different things into here, if it's just something that the world needs and you can be paid for, it's just a vocation. It's just a job.
Yeah.
But if something you'd be paid for and you're good at, that's a little bit different than a vocation. It's a profession.
Okay, so I'm like you're more professional
at it, right? But if it's something that you love and you're good at, that's more of a passion. And something that you love and the world needs, that's more of a mission. But if you could find something,
your mission, that's all what of those it
four
is.
Things. Yeah. That's your passion, your mission, your professional at it, and your vocation. That's Ikigai.
Yeah.
Which is, I think it's Japanese for like inner peace or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm probably butchering this. I don't know Japanese.
Beats me.
So, yeah.
Okay. So for you,
yeah,
that was your web design company.
I thought that was web design at the time. Because I liked it and the world needed it. I could get paid for it. And I thought I loved it. The thing is with most things, I'm sure you got this with graphic design. I thought I loved it and then I got into it and I'm like, this isn't for me as much. And I still do websites.
Because
I can't get paid for it.
It's a skill and it pays you the money that you need sometimes. Yeah. Right? Yeah. We all need those in our back pocket for sure.
Yeah. And that's one thing that Sean was taking me through is like, okay, we can set up your vision of what you want your life to look at. You think it's going to be web design. Let's figure that out. And when we first started going through the process, I still thought it was that. But then I got a few different clients and started learning different things. Because I looked at what I did as an art, and it still is to some extent. But if a business is paying me for it, they're expecting something different. It's not art. It's I need a return on my investment. I need most people that are buying websites, they need their main goal is to generate leads.
Yeah.
And they come to me for a website thinking that I'm going to fulfill that,
which
isn't necessarily true.
You can only do so much
with just a website.
Yeah.
And, a lot of times people, they think they put a website out there and everyone in the world is somehow magically going to find it. And that's not the case. Like you need to direct people to that website for them to find it. Because there's millions and millions of websites out there. How is yours going to stand out? And so I'm learning this. I'm working with my first few clients. I got into this really weird niche at the time, which was YouTubers. And so I'm young. I guess at this time I'm 19 and like YouTube is my life. Like I can't eat a meal without finding like the perfect YouTube video to watch.
Honestly, I'm still the same way.
I would say for the most part, me too. But there was this one YouTuber at the time, he's much, much more popular now. His name is Oompaville. And I used to love watching him because he would do like reaction content. It was like super easy stuff, just kind of watch and whatever. And I joined his Discord server at the time. And he was just hanging out in the voice chat there one night, and I joined, and he's talking to a bunch of his fans and everything. And we start talking, and turned out he was homeschooled as well. He also went to college for like IT and different things like that. So we kind of connected right off there. And they started telling me about this business he was working on. And it was called Sour Boys, which was a, he still runs it. It's a sour strip candy brand. And his idea was, at the time for YouTube, everything, YouTubers made money either from three things, ad revenue, brand deals, or for selling merch and all of that. But the problem with merch sales is a lot of the people that watch YouTube are a younger audience. A lot of his audience was a younger audience there. So these kids would go to their parents like, hey, can you buy me a hoodie? And the hoodie's like $60, $70. And so then the parents end up buying like a fake one off of eBay or something like that, you know? Wow. So he's like, what is something I can create that's still an influencer brand, but is still something at a price point that an average parent, middle-class family can buy?
Yeah.
Even if it is for like a little bit of a premium, just because it's coming from an influencer. So he started Sour Boys, which was a sour strip candy brand. And it was priced between $5 to $6 per bag. And it was still coming from an influencer, but parents can spend $5 to $6 on their kid. And it was the very first idea. Now that market's kind of saturated.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
But now it's saturated because everybody's kind of picked up on this idea. But he was the very first person to like actually put this in action. So we started talking about it. He was getting the candy made and everything there. And he needed a website. So I built him his website. We launched it. And we sold out in 24 hours with the product. Wow. We did like 150K in sales just overnight. He did one YouTube video. And it got like 100,000 views.
The dream.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It worked out great. So then he started connecting me with a bunch of his YouTuber friends. And I started working with them for different like product launches they were doing. And as I'm working with every one of them, they start sharing different things that they do to get traction behind whatever product they have.
What amazing insight that
is. Yeah. Worked with Mr. Beast there for a little bit as well, which he is so smart. Like he knows how the algorithm works on every platform, like the back of his hand, which is insane.
He told you my Mr. Beast story, right?
No.
I didn't. So there was one particular video. I haven't really watched Mr. Beast, to be honest, sure. But I understand his influence and his power, right? And how he knows YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I respect him as, like, an entrepreneur and a content creator and an influencer. And so, like, there was one clip that I saw of him that he said that if you want to be a YouTuber, an influencer, whatever, you need to create 100 videos. And then maybe you'll be an influencer, you know? And I, again, going back to my whole thing of like, I'm a really big believer of like immersion therapy with my podcast. I did the same thing where it's like, there's been so many like hiccups along the way, especially technically wise, right? Sure. Or like, I don't know, just all these different things because podcasting is hard, you know? And I always told myself until I get to 100 episodes, I'm not stopping no matter what. And it was because of him.
Yeah. I love that.
I'm going to keep going, obviously, even after 100.
100%.
But like, I'm so glad I saw that video because I think if I wouldn't have, I maybe would have quit earlier.
Sure.
And the people that I've met, some of like the business opportunities that I've gotten, and even just for myself, like I used to sweat through my clothes or like my tongue would be so dry at the end of an episode that I couldn't talk, or the fact that now I can kind of wing it.
Sure.
Even with our episode.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's just so fun.
100%.
And it's all because of his little video that I saw.
I love that. And that's where it takes time. Like, that's one thing I learned too, working with all these different YouTubers. It's like, all these people, they have been in the game for 4 or 5 years before they saw any traction.
Yeah, even whatsoever. Lewis House, like, he's one of the biggest podcasters out there. Yeah. He said it was 13 years before he made any money.
Right. Yeah.
And he's meeting literally with the biggest names out there on his podcast now.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's a waiting game.
It is. And the thing that's nice now is when we think about YouTubers or different people like that 7 years ago, they didn't have everything that we have now. Now everything is social media. Everything is TikTok. If you get any free time, you're scrolling on TikTok for like 10, 15 minutes.
It's so true. You know? At least.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, they didn't have all the tools that we have to go viral per se, that we do now. So now we're seeing influencers created and brought up out of nowhere in the matter of months, you know, whereas with YouTubers, it took
years.
And that's just kind of how TikTok has really changed the game with all that. I have a friend, his name's Amir, and he's been posting every single day at the exact same time for about 7 months now. And every video was getting maybe 300-400 views, nothing crazy. But just recently, he finally broke out of the mold. He finally broke into the algorithm with one video that he posted, and it wasn't even anything crazy. It was the exact same content that he's been doing forever at this point. But I got 100,000 views.
Wow.
And it was just all these little tiny videos, and they had 100,000 views. But all it takes is that one video to go viral, and then all of your other content starts boosting. And now every time you post a video, it gets 10,000 views. Every single time now. But
what are your thoughts? I have a question for you. Going back to my whole energy thing with Kabbalah. So I'm talking about limiting beliefs.
Sure.
I've had this intriguing thought recently where it's like, I think sometimes we have conflicting desires, right? So for example, you create content and everyone says that their desire is to go viral and to become this creator. Well, what if a part of us is actually sabotaging that desire and doesn't want it because we're like, well, I have privacy anymore. Is any of my videos ever going to be good enough?
Sure.
Am I going to have to create all the time? Is it going to be fun anymore? Is it going to become a job?
Sure.
All these thoughts, right? The expectations behind it. What does success even mean? I'm scared of success, right? I'm so used to surviving. Like, our minds don't want us to be happy. Our minds just want us to be comfortable.
Sure.
And if we're not used to that level of success, that could be a limiting belief that blocks us.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I would be curious to know, even though it's the same content, same thing that he's always been doing, I wonder what his energy was like, his mentality was when he posted that video.
Well, I think one thing that so it was the same style of content, but he changed the way that I think he presented it. Which I did a call with him afterwards, and we kind of looked through all the stuff he had been posting, and the core reason that anybody goes on TikTok or anything like that, some people go to be educated. I would say that's a very, very slim percent. If we're all being honest, the main reason we go on TikTok is to be entertained.
Yeah.
And he did the exact same style of video that he's always done, but he did it in an entertaining way. That is, I think, is the reason that set that video apart. I don't know if it was energy per se. I think it was just the way that he presented it was a bit different.
But I also wonder if even for himself, like internally, I know you guys were kind of analyzing a different elements of it.
Yeah, I was looking at the metrics.
Right.
Yeah,
so, like me being a girly girl and all woo-woo, I'm like, sorry. Where was he at spiritually? What was his mentality like?
Right.
You know?
I'm sorry. I guess my brain just doesn't go that way.
No, I know personally. It doesn't. And my brain doesn't go your way.
Sure. Yeah, there you go.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I think two truths can be at the same time.
For sure.
Right? Like, obviously, data-wise, he was doing something that made sense for the algorithm.
Sure.
But at the same time, there must have been some sort of internal shifts within him. Mm-hmm. And he was like, maybe he stepped into that mode.
Yeah.
Of being that creator.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It wasn't a job anymore at that point. Maybe that one day, that one video, he was feeling himself a certain type of way. And he was mm-hmm. just like,
yeah,
you know, I think it's that we can see authenticity, mm-hmm. right? I'm sure you've worked with a lot of corporate clients.
100%.
And when you see these CEOs and CFOs and all these like executives, the minute they're so powerful, right? They're well-spoken for the most part. You put a video camera in front of them. They can't get two sentences together. They're so nervous, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, but what makes someone intriguing? What makes people want to listen? It's when they seem like they're 100% themselves.
Yeah.
They're open.
Mm-hmm. Because it becomes less of an act at a certain point.
Yeah.
I feel like people feel like they have to act a certain way on social media when in all reality, a lot of times you just need to be consistent.
And with you. It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
It is interesting, though, because, like, I remember there was, like, one little video on my personal page that cracked me up that was the one that, like, it's always the ones you put the least amount of effort into. 100%. And that's also a little frustrating sometimes, because sometimes as a creative, it's fun to put together these, like, elaborate reels or whatever,
sure.
right? There was one that I put together where I don't remember the name of the actor in real life, but he played the boyfriend / husband of Phoebe from Friends.
Okay, yeah.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Okay, so he was in an interview, and, like, there's just this clip that people have been reusing of him, or this audio where he's like, look at us. Look at us.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one. So I did that of me walking into the gym.
Oh, there you go.
And that one got, like, I don't even remember, but it got so many views, and I was just like, yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. I mean, I guess it's relatable and it was short.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's relatable. It's entertaining. If we're going to metrics, it's a shorter.
It was like 7 seconds. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
A lot of the times the ones that will get pushed out more. So it's all about watch time if we get into metrics.
That's very true. That much I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So what percentage of the video is your overwhelming audience watching? If it's a shorter video, you can get the percentage up. A whole lot higher
which makes sense.
Yeah.
But sometimes, whether as a creative or even just someone who's like trying to put information out there,
sure,
it could be really hard to decrease the message that you're trying to put out there.
Yeah. And that's where you can still share a message, but maybe just share the message in a different way, you know? Maybe it's more sharing the message actually in the caption of the video, rather than in the video itself. But the video's entertaining enough, hooky enough, short enough to keep the audience engaged. And then they're just reading your caption. But as they're reading their caption, and replaying the video 5 or 6.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
It's different times and you're able to share that message, you know. All you need is something to get somebody to stop for just a few seconds. Get them to stop for just a few seconds and then they'll usually stay to watch the whole video. I think the number is if you can grab somebody's attention for 4 seconds, you have their attention for the next 30. So if you can get it in the first 4 seconds, then the video can be as long as you want after that. But the first few seconds are like extremely crucial for someone to actually stick around and watch your content.
So we digressed a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Going back to your story.
Yeah. So I started working with these YouTubers, all of that different stuff. And they started teaching me how content really works, how the algorithm really works. And I was like, okay, so they do this for entertainment. How can I take this over to the business world? Because I had all these clients that were like, I would build them their website, and they're like, this website sucks because it's not performing. And I'm like, I just built a website. Like, I don't know what to tell you. But then I realized, okay, they're coming to me for leads, not necessarily for just a fancy website, or for my art, as I wanted to call it. So then I was able to bring this to the business world, and I took all the same different concepts that all these YouTubers with millions and millions of followers are using that they taught me, and I brought to the more the business side. And how can we take basically the same content that these YouTubers are doing, and make it entertaining in a business setting?
Yeah.
And kind of break the mold of normal carousel posts or like whatever a business thinks they need to
Yeah,
do
that's
to
fun.
build traction. There is two sides of it with a business where it's one, you be want to be consistent, but at the same time, you want to be consistent so that you're active, but at the same time, it doesn't really matter if you're posting every single day if it's crappy content, to be honest. Like, nobody's going to engage with it. There's no reason for people to share it, to send it to their friends, unless it's like a crazy sale that you're doing. Like,
Yeah.
there's no reason, you know?
That's really good to hear because I think a lot of business owners feel a lot of pressure to be because that's the advice that you're given to share content every single day, at least one post a day, if not more. But better to share something of quality. Yeah.
So then it gets into how can you make quality content consistently after that? But you just have to start with, creating something meaningful, at least, that people want to share. I would say start once a week, create something meaningful. I'm all about, I don't post every single day on my
Yeah.
social media. If anything, I post like maybe once a month. But at least what I try to post is more. It's something I've thought like long and hard about on whether or not this is actually, will this give life to someone? Will this bring value to someone's business? Can this change lives? Can is it entertaining enough that somebody will want to watch it? I try to put a lot of thought into my stuff, so it's
It's a lot of
more
pressure.
quality over quantity. Yeah. It can be. It can
Can
be.
be.
But at the same time, I feel like if you are just in the mindset to give, it doesn't matter as much. Like, I'm just
So
trying to
see, that
give.
is that energy thing. You do think that way.
Okay. There you go.
See?
Yeah, sure.
That is an energy thing, right? Because yeah, maybe after you post it, you're going to start looking at like
That's
metrics
true.
and all the data, right? And maybe you, based on your knowledge, will also be like, I know certain days, certain times would be a better time to post with my audience. I know when they're engaging. But at the same time, while all that is important, it means nothing if what you're posting isn't something from coming from a place of giving,
For sure.
right? Because I think people also sense that energy of, do I want attention versus am I giving?
And that's where I kind of go back to what I was sharing in the beginning, where a lot of times if I'm making content, I'm thinking about one person in particular that I know this could help. Because I know if it can help this one person, I'm sure there's five or six other people that are going through the exact same problem. Because as business owners, we all deal with the exact same problems in different ways, and they may come in different shapes or form,
Yeah.
but it's the exact same problem, you know?
That's funny you mentioned that because I actually had this idea for Le Cafe where I started this. I don't know if I had started it when I met you. I think I had. It's this little series that I'm gonna resurface now that I'm back from Africa. Everything needs to start. Everything was like, they say like BC and AC. So for me, it was like before Africa and after Africa.
There you go.
Like it was just such a big trip that I'm like, okay, I need to get back into the rhythm of life. But on my own journey of learning about coffee, I can nerd out about it for hours. And I noticed that there's this huge discrepancy between coffee snobs, the coffee connoisseurs of the world, and then just your average coffee drinker. Because there's Americans, especially, are the lead in the world of coffee drinkers. But most people don't know anything about anything. As a barista, I can't even tell you how many stories I've had where it's like people have come in and be like, what's a latte? Like, as a barista, I'm like, but then I have to backtrack. I think like a year ago, I didn't know the difference between the cafe au lait, Americano, all these things. There are things on the menu that I maybe would research, but was very overwhelming for me. Or as a consumer, you go to the grocery store and you see all these brands of coffee. Mm-hmm. And you're like, Robusta, Arabica. Mm-hmm. What are these brands? Notes of cherry and vanilla and chocolate and all these things. And you're tasting it and you're like, doesn't taste like ice cream.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, like it's coffee. It's like some coffees I like better and not, and I don't know why. And sometimes it's fresher and not, and I don't know why it's better. And so it's like, as I've been going on this journey, I'm like, there's a huge discrepancy of information. And so I wanted to break it down for dummies.
Sure.
And so the series, I'm calling it Behind the Bean.
Okay.
So as I'm learning about coffee, I want to teach people about coffee. Like, how do you like your coffee, for example?
I like cold brew.
You like cold brew?
Yeah.
Okay. So fun fact about cold brew is that cold brew is actually perfect for anyone who has old coffee.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. At the grocery store, according to the FDA, you can sell coffee up to a year after it's been roasted.
Okay.
But it's best within 30 days of being roasted.
Okay.
So anything longer than that, if it's a quality coffee bean, Arabica is more quality. Robusta is cheaper.
Okay.
Robusta is grown towards the ground. It's easier for them to grow. So that's why it's cheaper.
Okay.
There's more of it. Arabica is a little bit more less of... able to get.
Okay.
So that's why it's more money, but the taste is better. And now I just went on a whole tangent.
No, you're good.
Getting all excited about it. But like Robusta, for example, the caffeine hit is like a punch to the face. Like you think gas station coffee, you drink and you're like, 6 hours, let's go.
Yeah.
But like, it's disgusting, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a quality cup of coffee, but like Arabica coffee, it takes at least 40 minutes for the caffeine really to digest into your system and for you to feel awake. You're not going to feel that bow of caffeine, but you're also not going to have the same crash that you would with Robusta. So it's just a different experience.
Yeah.
And so with cold brew, if you ever do have old coffee, that's the best way to do it. And cold brew also is your best option for getting the most caffeine with like the least amount of bitterness as well.
Okay.
Do you make it at home or do you like to get it?
I just get it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You have to try my cold brew.
Okay.
It's so good. I combine my light and dark roast. Okay. So typically another thing with cold brew, fun fact, if you're making it at home, you do a medium to dark roast. Mm-hmm. People don't usually put light roasts in cold brews.
Okay.
But I put my light roast, I do half dark, half light. My light roast has like a cherry undertone.
Okay.
So it's very unique.
Okay.
It's so good.
There we go. Let's try it.
I'm really proud of it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, but like that's the thing. There's so many fun facts. Or like let's say an Americano, right? This is a video I'll have to do. I always think for me it's like setting. I want to do an interesting setting.
Sure.
You know, for like
videography.
Cinematography. But Americanos, the name Americano came because American soldiers during World War II were stationed in Europe, and a lot of Europeans will have a double shot of espresso. Super bitter, especially if you're not used to drinking that much concentrated black coffee, and it was too much for them. So they asked the cafes to add some hot water to kind of dilute it, which is what an Americano is. It's shots of espresso with hot water.
Okay. Shoot.
Fun facts.
Yeah. So, okay, so here's a question. So how would you present that in a way that someone not only is hooked in the first 4 to 5 seconds?
Okay. Hear you.
But let's talk. Like how would you present that content?
Without strategy.
Yeah.
Without strategy. I mean, I think for me it's just like my excitement, right?
Sure.
So actually, this is a good question. Mm-hmm. So do you think with that video, I should start off with a little introduction being like, hi, my name is Nahama. I'm the owner of Lake Cafe.
No.
Totally not.
No. Because, okay. So first off, and this is going to sound really brutal.
Okay.
Nobody cares about you.
Okay.
Nobody cares about anybody.
I mean, it's something I've learned. Know? I'm almost 30. So.
No, I don't mean like that. I don't mean like that.
But you're actually right though.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
Because nobody cares about
who I am,
who you are, what
they could do that research later if they're intrigued by me.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Love
they want to know how can you entertain them in that one moment.
Okay.
You know? So how would you open it up in a way that's entertaining, that's intriguing, that's trying to get them to watch the full video. So like a hook to the end a little bit.
Maybe I would start off with a question and be like, have you ever wondered, maybe if I was feeling a little sassy that day, I'd probably be like, have you ever wondered like what the fuck an Americano is?
Yeah.
And like, why is it called this and what's the history?
Mm-hmm.
And here's
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
What you're ordering when you go to the coffee shop.
Sure. I think that would work. I would change it a little bit to where instead of have you ever wondered, just say the question right there. Like
what the fuck is an Americano?
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's a great hook.
Yeah.
And that can even be a thing where if you do it in the right way, it can become a viral sound on TikTok as well.
Oh
if you
my
can
gosh,
create it in
so
a way
true.
That, you know, because it might not be an Americano. It could be, you know, some other question that somebody has, but they can use your audio to be like, oh, what is this?
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's great. So start with that. And okay. A lot of times, so I have a term that I use a lot of times when I'm creating content, and this might seem a little weird, and you can edit this out if you don't want it. So I call it zest maxing.
Okay.
So a lot of times when I'm recording a video, I may come off the slightest hint of gay. If that might sound bad. Because traditionally gay people have more emotion when they talk.
Yeah.
They're more expressive when they talk. And that works really, really well on social media. So I try to bring as much emotion and expression. And it can even come off like a little flirtatious with some of it. So if I'm looking at your video, right, and you're saying that, like add like a little bit of emotion to it, if that makes sense.
Does make sense.
Okay.
No, I do get what you're saying. Because the thing is something that I've learned even from my podcast is that so many times I think that I'm being expressive.
Sure.
And it doesn't carry the way you think it does on camera.
Yeah.
I don't know how it does in person.
Sure.
But like on camera, sometimes like there's been episodes where I feel like I've been like super like using my hands a lot and like just the way I'm sitting. And I think I'm being like too much. And I look back and I'm like, no, that actually like reads really well.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
So instead of just, what the fuck is Americano? Like, what the fuck is an Americano? Like add a little bit more expression and enunciation on certain words and a little bit of a pause.
To create that like intrigue, drama.
Yeah. Because then you're getting into, okay, you need to hook somebody in the first 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. How do you keep someone for the first 5 seconds throughout the entire video? So if you can kind of draw out that first question.
You are so good at what you
do. Just to be a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Without them getting a payoff. Yet of what the video is about.
Yeah.
So you're just drawing that out in the very beginning that, okay, someone's like, okay, I've already watched 5 seconds of this. I guess I might as well watch the rest of it.
Yeah.
Because people get in the mode where they're just scrolling. They're just doom scrolling. And if you can just stop them in their tracks for just like, again, 5 seconds, it's not that long. But if you can stop them in the tracks for just a little bit, they'll watch the rest of the content that you have to offer.
I like
that. And then they'll learn about the history. And then you can go into more in depth. And then maybe you can even shout out, you know, your coffee brand, you know, different things like that. But you've got to hook them in a little bit.
I love that. I would change that to, I think, maybe for branding.
Mm-hmm.
That may be a little more PC branding that you can use for it. Is you could call it stop them in their tracks.
Sure.
Because I like that mentality. Because like, what will stop people in their tracks?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And even with the event, we were talking yesterday, me and the owner, Heather, the owner of the selfie room, we were talking about how, like, one thing we learned with events is that you can't just create one post and expect that people are going to jump and sign up for it.
100%.
So you have to like keep putting it out there, keep putting on your stories,
saturate it,
share it with your network, but also like really create that story of what you're doing. So how can you do it in different ways to create an intrigue and make people want to come?
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I'll talk about too with it is a lot of people, they think that, there's this new trend going on. I need to jump on a trend. Honestly, that's the most detrimental thing that you can do. Because once you jump on a trend, unless you're like the very, very first or second person to jump on it after some video goes viral, if anything, it's going to actually diminish your reach on the algorithm because everybody's doing it.
So you're almost oversaturating.
You're oversaturating the sound.
Wow.
TikTok looks at it as just fluffer content. There's no reason for them to push it out at all.
Wow.
So trends, again, unless you're like the very first or second person to do it after something goes viral, it's very much a detriment. Because every video matters with the algorithm.
Right. So to my point, like earlier, like I think we have different perspectives and I think both of them have different value, which is really intriguing.
Yeah.
Because you were saying with your personal page, you only post like once a month or something, right? In mine, I'm posting like once a day at least, if not more, right?
Yeah.
And I think for me, my page is really mostly for me.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I'm my biggest fan. Have there been times that I'm scrolling back on my own page and be like, God, I'm funny. It's great. Yeah. It's great. So I just cracked myself up on my own page. But like, it's just really a page for me where I don't really care, if that makes sense. I'm really just doing it because I'm working that muscle of creating. Yeah. That's my intention.
Yeah.
I love your intention too. And I think that's also really important. It's just different stages, right? Yeah. I'm so new to this that for me, I'm still trying to think like a creator.
Yeah.
Right. And so like, I think in the beginning I was using like the templates that Instagram had, which are obviously what everyone was using and saturating. Sure. But as I was learning, I'm like, wait, I'll be scrolling on Instagram and I'll hear like an audio. And now I know how to save it, reuse it and create it. And now I'm knowing how to like to do all these things, which is really exciting. But I only learned because I was posting every single day and just constantly in the app.
Yeah.
So
I think it's different goals too. Like I'm not necessarily trying to become an influencer or a content creator myself.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I am posting content, to be completely honest, I'm just trying to get a sale, you know?
Yeah.
And I know if I just put out one piece of content that is extremely good, that's life-giving, that's business changing, that's all of that. I have at least, like, I get enough engagement on my posts that I put out, I know I'll get at least one or two people reaching out and I'll probably close one of them, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Cause I'm not trying to sell anything with mine. Mine's just more about like learning the app. And also I'm using it to gain confidence and skills to be able to utilize for my other platforms, like my podcast and for my coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. The coffee one is still something where I'm like, how do we use that to like create leads? That's what I'm trying to still figure out too. Because I'm also thinking as a consumer, like let's say for example, with Mary Ruth's liquid multivitamin, I actually do use it and I love it. It's like my favorite product.
There you go.
And what's so funny is like they're getting a free shout out.
Yeah,
here, right?
I was gonna be like hashtag
out. I know.
Yeah.
But like the thing is that the reason why my experience with it was so intriguing because I utilized that thought process of how I was as a consumer. How did they get me? Because it's kind of an expensive product. I'm not going to lie. Sure. My coffee, for the average person who's trying to budget, they might look at it and they may think it's expensive, right? Sure. Now, having gone to a coffee farm and understanding all that goes into it and also knowing my costs and everything, my price, I feel confident on, which is something I didn't have before Africa. Now I'm like, my price, I feel good about. I feel like it's worth it. And to be honest, I probably could be charging more.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm doing a deal for people. Yeah. But it's just about knowing your worth and having that confidence because you can put whatever price you want to, but you have to be willing to stand behind whatever that price. But then the second part is, are people paying it too?
Sure.
Right. So there's that struggle that I think entrepreneurs always have. And we were talking about the limiting beliefs earlier. Where was I going with this?
You're talking about just posting just for yourself.
Oh, right. So my whole journey with Mary Ruth's was obviously how ads work is you start seeing things, right? Yeah. And then the algorithm will keep feeding it to you.
Yeah.
So I saw Mary Ruth's and I knew vaguely that David, who I'm a big fan of, this was his product. So already I'm feeling warmer towards it because like, you know, you like someone, they created this, you're like, oh, I want to support, right? Yeah. And like, who doesn't want stronger, healthier hair? And like, I also could really much relate to the fact that I was taking a lot of vitamins for a while. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm in my 20s and I feel like I'm an 80-year-old with the amount of vitamins that I'm taking. And one morning I choked.
Oh, wow.
And after that, I stopped taking them. Because I'm like, this is ridiculous. So the liquid multivitamins was great because I just do a half a shot glass every day, toss it back.
Sure.
Conceptually, I like the concept. But then I looked at the price. I remember one day, finally, after like weeks, maybe months of seeing it, I finally clicked on it, saw the price, and I was like, hell no. And I went off it, right? And then, I don't know. They just, I kept seeing it. And that is what made me one day be like, you know what? I'll try it.
Yeah.
And I did. And the results made me become a consumer.
Yeah.
And so when I think about Le Cafe, I think about the same way as well, where it's like sometimes you don't see the leads right away.
For sure.
But as long as I'm putting myself out there and people are seeing it and seeing it, all I have to do is do two parts. When people hear about my story, you know, I left corporate to pursue my passion, and I'm giving 10% back to local charities every month. And also, it's coffee.
Yeah.
Once they're all that is part of the process, like, then I get those customers that are loyal. Sure. So it's just a matter of put me in front of the customers, have them taste my coffee, and I know that they'll want it.
Yeah.
They'll see why it's special.
Well,
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
So that here's another facet that you could add on to it is once you get someone to be like a consumer of your brand, I personally believe that, again, I think we talked about at the beginning that all of us have influence to some extent, whether we're influencers or content creators or not. So how do you take just a normal consumer of your brand and make them become an affiliate or an influencer of your brand? How do you empower a consumer to want to share and give back and give shout outs?
Like
and,
I'm doing right now, totally
that.
For free.
And that's where I think a lot of brands they forget about is that once you have so many orders come in, you have all of these people's email addresses. You can be sending stuff out to them. And again, you want to be saturating them with content once they are part of your herb or your tribe or whatever you want to call it. And then how do you get those people to expand your mission, expand your reach themselves?
Right. And you have to be careful, right?
Sure.
Because at the same time, like let's say, for example, the organization who did the trip for Kilimanjaro, They do, it's an organization that gives towards children and young adults with special needs. Okay. But the way that their email campaigns are, it's very pushy.
Sure.
And like, that's a problem that you have to be careful of too. 100%. Because you can turn people away.
Yeah.
So.
But I think it comes back down to kind of the Ikigai thing a bit. Not only how do we do something that we love that we're passionate about, that's mission focused, that we love doing, that we can get paid for. How can we spread Ikigai to our customers, our clients, or whoever that is, so that not only that do they love not only what they're receiving in return, but how can they get behind the mission that you're supporting? How can they get behind, how can they get paid too, you know? So like that's one thing I would say with you with the coffee brand, why not try doing like an affiliate campaign thing where people, they get their own affiliate link. You could do that in Shopify like very easily.
Yeah.
And then people get their own affiliate code, whatever that is. Maybe they make a little bit of money, but if they're bought in into your mission and you like giving back 10% and all of that, like, why not? You know, I would say they're more than likely to share that with their friends and family.
So you, like, let's say, for example, like if they, like for every bag they sell, they would get like a certain percentage of the sales or something.
Yeah.
Or...
yeah. They would get, I don't know. They can get a coupon. They can get, you know, there's multiple different ways you can set it up. But people like to get behind brands.
Yeah.
They love getting behind brands. So just giving them an outlet to be able to do that. Like, shoot. Especially like a locally owned, woman-owned business. Like, there's so many different things there that people just want to get behind. That people would love to just share. Just share that out.
And the best part is I think a lot of times when you're in the early stages of entrepreneurship, people like to support that.
Yeah.
Especially because a lot of people would never do it themselves.
For sure.
Not even out of fear, since they just have no interest.
Sure.
But they're like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. Something to think about.
Yeah, lots of great ideas.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Are you still religious?
I am. Yes.
You are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have a life verse tattooed on me. So this is John 3:17.
Okay.
And I feel like a lot of the world, they focus on John 3:16, which is, for God so loved the world that gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him may have everlasting life. And that's like, if you're a Christian, you know that verse. Like, that's like the verse. But this is John 3:17, which is the verse after it, which is, for I came not into the world to condemn the world, that the world may through me have life. And that was growing up in the cult and everything I did. It was the exact opposite of that, which was basically, if you don't do these certain things, like, you won't have eternal life, or you're not loved. Like, nobody will care about you if you're this, this, and that. But the Bible says something completely opposite, that God sent Jesus into the world not to condemn us, not to belittle us or make us feel like we're unworthy, but that we actually can have life through him, which is completely contradictory to what my parents taught me growing up and all of that. But it's in the Bible. So I'd rather take the Bible over my parents, to be honest.
Yeah.
Or any of these other religious leaders that want to tell me what to do.
Yeah, it's very impressive that you like still found faith after a cult,
because
I feel like you hear a lot of people go completely the 100%. Opposite way, you know.
And that was a big thing, like, so they did an Amazon Prime documentary called Shiny Happy People, and they interview different people from it, and it was very one-sided, to where everybody that came out of it were atheists. They had no spirituality whatsoever. And it didn't show the other side, that you can still go through that and still have faith.
I think a lot of people think it's this or, right?
Right.
It's like you're either religious or you're not.
Yeah.
And it's simply not the case.
Right.
Like, for me, I would say, like, I'm Jews for joy.
Sure.
That's where I'm at right now. Like, there's so much about, like, it's not just like, oh, because I'm not an Orthodox Jew, I'm not Jewish, I don't identify. There's so much about Judaism that I think is so incredibly beautiful and meaningful to me, and I have such a deep faith in God that it's like, everything's a journey, right? And so it's like, it's not I'm giving up everything just because there are certain things that I'm struggling with.
Yeah
It doesn't have to be so extreme.
Not at all.
Yeah,
not at all. So
that's really cool.
Yeah.
So you mentioned off camera, but I'm gonna bring it up on camera, because I think it's important. Talk about this whole concept of like ikigai and like your passion and your purpose, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes passion dies, right? And so, like, you were saying how, like, right now you've been doing your business now for 6 years and you're not feeling as like passion driven as you were. So can we like dive into that a little bit?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like so I had some personal things that happened over the last few years that you know about.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what you're talking about with after coming back from Africa, which I'm assuming you'll share in another podcast that people should watch. I'm trying to really look into and figure out for myself what's important. What is life? I have two beautiful daughters that I focus on the business so much that I probably don't see as much as I probably should. Mm. And I'd love to spend more time with them. I'm just kind of refocusing, trying to figure out. It used to be that business was such a huge, important part of my life. And it still is to some extent. But I was driven by revenue goals and how big of a client base can I have. And I was so focused on like my influence and things of that nature that the influence of things that truly, truly matter at the end of the day, like being a dad, kind of fell by the wayside. I was so focused on other people's approval of myself, which again probably comes from some childhood trauma with the cult I grew up in, where it was all about.
I think we all kind of struggle with people pleasing to a certain extent.
Yeah, yeah,
it's human. We want to be part of the tribe, whatever that tribe is,
right? Right.
Yeah.
But so focused on people pleasing and appealing to other people, and what they wanted for me, rather than like, what do I really want? What is God calling me to do in my own life? Things of that nature. So. Yeah, I'm kind of in the process of trying to figure that out at the moment.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is you're not the first person. I feel like I'm in a very intriguing spot as a young entrepreneur because I'm a little baby entrepreneur. You know, I haven't even been doing this a year yet. I've been meeting a lot of entrepreneurs who are kind of at this point where they hit those goals. Not that there isn't more monetary goals or success goals to hit, but they kind of hit a goal that they've wanted to reach, or multiple ones. And they're kind of doing that reframe where they're like, what really matters to me now? And oh my God, what actor was it? He's so funny, where he's like a Canadian actor and he says, I wish that everyone could like reach all their dreams and goals of like success just to realize that it's not what they want.
Wow. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then like, well, thank God you have your daughters to give you that like reframe. Yeah. Like you have already built into your life meaning.
Yeah.
You know, some people wake up and they're like, well, what, my life means nothing. I have nothing. Right. Yeah. So at least you already have something.
Yeah.
So that alone is like a blessing. But like, it makes me pause right now in my journey to be like, I believe, and this was part of like my whole thing of like shifting towards, you know, Le Cafe versus being a graphic designer, that money is meant for you, it will come. And I don't believe in job security. I believe in God's security. And I believe that everything that is meant for you will come. And I believe that a lot of people don't agree with me to this extent, but I'm like, the more faith you have, I think the less you have to work.
Yeah.
And I think the less faith you have, the more you have to work.
Yeah.
Because I think people have bred a shame. So it's like they feel guilt for getting all the desires of their heart. But I think when you allow yourself to receive and be like, does a baby need to be worthy to be loved, to receive? No, they get all the love, all the attention, all their needs are met.
Yeah.
So why is it that as we grow older, we feel like we need to earn and prove and deserve love, you know? We're always working and growing and being better. And I think we do need to have purpose and drive and have a reason to wake up in the morning, you know? But it's like there's a difference. Like Gary Vee, I just posted on my story today. He was like, 8 billion people need to like reframe.
Yeah.
And instead of wanting to be successful, it's about, did I wake up in a good mood today?
Sure.
Because my mechanic, I just told you, my car was in the, thank God it's okay. Thank God. But my car, he's a very successful mechanic. Like he's built an empire, right? And he said he has gotten rid of, in the past like few years, 75% of all of the like material stuff.
Wow.
Moved to a smaller home, all these things, because he's like the headache that he had for having all those things. And he feels so much more peace now.
Yeah.
It's like, here I am hustling, trying to get all those things that he's like giving away, right? And it's intriguing, you know, maybe it's, maybe it's like, we need money. We need to be business minded. Like one of my previous guests, Will, who actually owns the building that I want to have my shop at. And he said, but what if the money doesn't come?
Yeah.
Does that matter? You know? And like I said, coming back from Africa, like seeing what really matters, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm very overstimulated by America right now.
I'm sure.
Really overwhelmed.
I'm sure.
Like the other thing was coming back was I was in my people pleasing mode where I was saying yes to everybody beforehand. And like, I even just had a friend who messaged me. She was like, I would love to hear about your trip. And I was like, I'm going to be recording a podcast episode and I'm really just prioritizing coffee and podcasting right now.
Yeah.
I've been saying yes to too many people and I'm trying to just like give myself some breathing room in my day.
Yeah.
Just to be.
And that's where I kind of feel like I'm 28. I've hit so many different goals. I'm driving my dream truck.
It's a nice truck.
Thank you. Thank you. Like I've hit all these different things and I don't want to say it was meaningless, but
maybe it's like what I said when I went to the summit.
What was that?
Remember I told you when I went?
Yeah, it was beautiful.
I climb Mount Kilimanjaro. Yeah. This is a little peak. I climb Mount Kilimanjaro. And like this whole time, all because it took 6 days to climb all the way up. I'm going through five different climate zones and it's beautiful. But I was like, every time I rested, I felt good. Every time I hiked, I thought I was going to die. I finally got to the top and I was just like, that's it. Not that it wasn't beautiful, not that it wasn't meaningful. It's just, I think it's more of not that the view and the journey was that's it. It's just that there's so much buildup in your head. And then when you finally get it, maybe you expected to feel more. Maybe you thought you would be, I don't know. Maybe that's something similar to what you're saying.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to figure out what I want to be when I grow up still, you know? I feel like I've been saying that for years, but
I think for me, it's kind of shifted where like when I was younger, I was very intense and very mature.
Yeah.
And like now I feel like I'm aging backwards in the sense where play is more important to me.
Yeah.
And I just want it to have more of like a playful existence, you know?
Yeah.
Like the goal, this is going to sound terrible, but hear me out. The goal is to die young, as old as possible.
Sure. 100%.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like going back to even what you were saying before, like when you said, oh, like, not to be brutal, but you don't matter.
Yeah.
That has been a truth that I've learned in my like late 20s. And I love it.
Yeah.
It's the best thing ever.
If you really get into it, it's like actually really freeing.
It's the best thing ever. Yeah. I saw this TikTok of this guy who's in the airport and he's like videoing himself. He's like, this is just your daily reminder that no one gives a fuck about you. And none of these people are going to remember me that I'm yelling to my phone in the middle of an airport.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's so true.
Yeah.
So anytime I started documenting, like, that's another reason why I started doing it every day, by the way. I do it from the vision also of I'm trying to document my life. Because I think I used to be one of those people that I was the opposite extreme, that I hated the pictures. I wanted to be in the moment.
Sure.
But like friends, memories, occasions, it shifts. Sometimes slowly, sometimes really fast. And you think you'll have it forever, but you don't.
Sure.
So having those pictures is actually really meaningful.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
We could talk for hours.
Yeah.
Honestly, but like, I feel like everyone needs to process what we've said so far.
A lot. Yeah.
I kind of already thought of the title for this episode because you know how it's all friends themed to do like the one where, the one with?
Yeah.
So I was thinking yours will be the one where we learn how to influence.
Oh, okay. I love it.
Because I feel like we talked about that. That's like very much the overall theme.
Very much so.
Yeah. And it fits since we met at an influencer event. Yeah. So
let's do it. There you go.
Okay. I love it. Perfect. So I am going to end with two questions for you.
Okay.
Okay. So we just had this whole existential talk about.
I know, right? It's kind of depressing there.
No, it was good. It was good. I don't think it's depressing. Like, just more of like, it's super vulnerable.
Sure.
Right. So my question is though, now this is like, I want you to get rid of any limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't be practical. Get rid of all your little metric, logical mind for a moment. Okay. I want you to tap into your inner child.
Sure.
Think about your daughters. Mm-hmm. Okay. How like for them. 10 years from now, all goes well. You're living your dream life. Mm-hmm. What does that look like for you?
Mm.
Like we're sitting here 10 years from now. I'm like, sup, man? What changed?
Yeah.
What changed? What's been going on? What does your day look like?
Hmm. Well, I would say the biggest thing was that I was present in every moment. That I was present for my daughters, for my wife, that people remember me that it's like I was like the biggest lover that there is. I could just love on people. That I was giving care. I hope I have so much free time.
I love that. No, I think that's so real and raw. And like, I think I told you this, but this is a huge Kabbalah thing where it's like the fulfillment comes before the desire.
Mm-hmm.
So you would never have a desire for something if it wasn't meant for it to be a fulfillment for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have that desire to be so present for your wife, for your kids, for everyone you meet to be that loving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been my experience. This is our second time meeting, but like you are such a loving person. And like you do give so much. You gave me so much free value, even just like with this little like podcast. Yes, done. Check. It's gonna happen.
Cool.
It's gonna be.
Perfect.
You're welcome. And then I do have a tradition.
Sure.
So this is the whole basis of this whole podcast, which it's all based on this Hebrew quote, which is Ezeh Chacham Ha'amin Mikol Adam.
Okay.
Which means one who is wise is one who learns from everyone.
Okay.
So we have learned so much from you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can leave us with like one last little life lesson or favorite quote.
I think the biggest thing I would say is no matter what, even when it's tough, even when it's hard, even when you feel uninspired, it's still just show up.
Mm.
I know I tend to do this a lot to where if I get overwhelmed, I hide.
Yeah.
Which is very, very detrimental to not only my brand, my business, but to myself, because it's not good for your mental health to really do that as well.
Yeah.
Just show up. And I would say that God has an amazing plan for each and every one of us. We just need to be able and willing to step into that when the door opens. And you won't be able to do that unless you show up each and every time
it's
presented to you. So
I love that.
There you go. Yeah.
Yay.
Thank you.
Well, this has been so great. So how can my audience support you?
Yeah. Well, you can find me on Instagram, nick.demas.
Mm-hmm.
For my business, RevUp. It's RevUp Funnels on Instagram as well.
Yeah.
If you want to schedule a call with me, if you have any questions for me, you can go to revupfunnels.com/connect and you can schedule a call with me. And I do free calls, free strategy calls with anyone.
Wow.
So you schedule half an hour and we could talk about your business, whatever you're working on, and go from there. So
I highly recommend, in case you haven't seen, I mean, obviously, if you're still watching to this point, you've heard me have all these strategy meetings as well. I think working with you, anyone would be so successful.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
Yeah, we're going to link all the things in the bio.
There we go.
This is going to be great.
Perfect.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, guys, this has been another amazing episode. Thank you so much for listening or watching. And if you're not currently watching, the video can be found on Spotify or YouTube. And again, my ask is that if this was inspiring for you, if you can please share this with a friend. I hope you guys have a great week. Let's get it. Let's go.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.